Our dear brothers and sisters, we pray that Allah accepts all of our efforts and righteous deeds. We also beseech Allah to accept the efforts of all who contribute to serving the Hajjaj, who have come to Allah's sacred land of Mecca and these sacred sites of Hajj. We further ask Allah's guidance and assistance in remaining mindful of Him during our Hajj, and also in being considerate of those around us, so that we can maintain an atmosphere of tranquility and devotion to Allah, the Almighty and Most Majestic. Our dear brothers and sisters, we thank you once more for honoring us by tuning in to listen to the live English translation of the sermon. We pray that Allah allows today's translation to be an enlightening message to all of you and a beneficial part of Hajj for all who are present with us here in Arafah today. The live sermon translation will begin shortly, so please stay tuned in. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Bestower of Mercy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bestow His protection, mercy, and blessings upon you. Our dear brothers and sisters, on behalf of the General Presidency for Affairs of Al-Masjid Al-Haram and the Prophet's Masjid, we welcome you to this sacred site of Arafah on this auspicious day, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1439 Hijri, the day of Arafah. It is an honor to have you join us today to listen to the live English translation of today's sermon. It will be broadcast on 88.3 FM here in Arafah itself, as well as on the Arafah Sermon app to the rest of the world. The live translation of today's sermon from Arafah is being presented as part of the Custodian of the Two Holy Mosques project for live sermon translation. For approximately the past 5 years, this project has been implemented at the two holy mosques, Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca and the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Al-Madinah, as a service to all of our brothers and sisters so that they can listen to the sermons translated live into their own languages. Today, that project has been extended to cover the sermon at Arafah. This has been done in order to serve our brothers and sisters who have come from all over the world to perform Hajj. A welcome message from the custodian of the two holy mosques, King Salman ibn Abdul Aziz, was recently broadcast, in which he extended his welcome to all the Hujjaj who have come to these sacred sites of Allah to perform Hajj, this majestic act of worship. The king warmly welcomes all who have arrived in Allah's sacred land of Mecca to perform Hajj. The worshippers have come from many countries worldwide, and the king prays that they will be blessed to perform Hajj in the best way, so that Allah would accept it from them and admit them to Jannah in the hereafter as a fitting reward, since there is no reward good enough for the Hajj which Allah accepts besides Jannah. Our dear brothers and sisters, we pray that Allah accepts all of our efforts and righteousness. We also beseech Allah to accept the efforts.
All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of creation, the Most Merciful, the Bestower of Mercy, and the sole owner and sovereign of the Day of Recompense. He blessed His servants with various types of provision and with guidance to the most virtuous of conduct. Allah, the true supreme sovereign, is exalted above all else. None has the right to be worshipped except Him. He told us you must realize that Allah has full knowledge of all that you conceal within your soul, so beware of Him and do not disobey Him. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, the infinitely knowledgeable creator of all things. And I bear witness that Muhammad is Allah's worshipping servant and messenger. His Lord described him by saying, "You indeed have an admirable standard of conduct." O Allah, grant your commendation and protection to your messenger, as well as to his family, his companions, and all who followed his path in personifying sound ethics and conduct. Dear people of Iman, observe taqwa of Allah by complying with His directives and keeping your hearts attached to Him with love, hope, and reverential fear.
When someone observes taqwa, he will succeed in both this world and the hereafter. When someone observes taqwa, he will be guided to the truth. Allah the Most Exalted said, people of Iman, observe taqwa of Allah and continue to maintain your Iman in Allah's Messenger. If you do so, Allah will grant you a double portion of His mercy, grant you a light by which you would be guided, and forgive your sins. Allah certainly forgives His servants who repent to Him, and He bestows His mercy upon them. Allah also said, you must observe taqwa of Allah so that you would attain success. Additionally, Allah said about companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were the ones who responded to the call of Allah and the Messenger even after they had sustained injuries. A truly magnificent reward will be attained by those among them who performed their deeds in the best way and observed taqwa. Allah also told us that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam told his people, worship Allah alone and observe taqwa of Him. That is best for you, if you only knew. Part of observing taqwa is to sincerely devote all worship to Allah alone. None besides Allah, the Most Exalted, deserves any form of worship whatsoever. Allah, who is perfect in every way, said, mankind, you must worship your Lord who created you and created those before you in order to observe taqwa. He is the one who spread the earth beneath you, made the sky a canopy above you, sent down water from the sky, and brought forth with that water many types of fruits as provision for you. Therefore, do not set up rivals to Allah in worship when you know that He alone is the one who brought all of you into existence and provided for you. Allah the Almighty also said, I did not create jinns and humans except for them to worship me alone. Allah further said, they were not given any command besides sincerely devoting all worship to Allah alone, establishing prayer as prescribed, and giving obligatory charity. Those directives comprise a religion that is straight and does not contain any crookedness. Allah also said, truly I am Allah. None is worthy of worship except me. Therefore, sincerely devote all of your worship to me and establish prayer in order to mention and remember me. All of Allah's prophets and messengers brought the message of Tawheed, sincerely devoting all worship to Allah alone. At the head of them were the messengers of strongest resolve, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad, who was the seal of the prophets. May Allah grant all of them His commendation and protection. Each one of the prophets told the people to whom he was sent, my people, you must worship Allah. There is no God who deserves your worship except Him. Will you not observe taqwa? After the prophets, the people whom Allah grants the best final outcome are the followers of the prophets, whereas those who oppose the prophets will be subjected to Allah's punishment. Allah the Most Exalted said, we certainly sent to every people a messenger telling them to worship Allah and stay away from all other deities. Then there were some among the people whom Allah guided, and there were some among them who deserved to be left astray. Thus travel through the land and see what was the ending of those who continued to reject the truth. That is the call of Tawheed, which was conveyed by every one of the prophets, the call to devote all worship to Allah alone. It is the meaning of the testimony, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. Allah said, the God whom you are all supposed to worship is one God, Allah. None has the right to be worshipped besides Him. He is the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. Allah also said, say, He is my Lord. None has the right to be worshipped besides Him. In Him alone I place my complete trust, and to Him alone I continually repent. And Allah said, you must not take for yourselves two gods in worship. Allah is indeed only one God. Therefore you must have complete reverential fear of Me alone. To Allah alone belongs everything in the heavens and the earth, and it is necessary to devote all worship and complete obedience to Him alone. Is there anyone else to whom you are required to be completely dutiful? Every blessing you have is from Allah. Then, when harm touches you, you cry out to Him for help. But when He removes the harm from you, there are those among you who worship others besides their Lord. As a result of that, they ungratefully deny the favors which we, Allah, have bestowed upon them. You may enjoy yourselves in this life, but you will eventually come to know the consequences. Servants of Allah, along with the aforementioned testimony, success and salvation cannot come about without the testimony that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. This testimony entails that the messenger's instructions be obeyed, the messenger's words be accepted, and that Allah only be worshipped in the way that the messenger taught. Allah sent him to all people in order to take them out of the depths of darkness and lead them to the light, to rescue them from being astray and bring them to guidance. Allah the Most Exalted told him, "We have only sent you to all of mankind as a conveyor of glad tidings and a warner." Allah also addressed him by saying, "Prophet of Allah, we have sent you as a witness, a bearer of glad tidings, a warner, a caller to Allah by His permission, and a brilliantly shining lamp. Convey to the people of Iman the glad tidings that they will be granted immense bounty from Allah." Dear people of Iman, your Lord conveyed to you the glad tidings of His immense bounty. He told His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Convey glad tidings to the people who have iman and perform righteous deeds, that in the hereafter they will be granted gardens in Jannah, under which rivers flow." Allah also said, "As for the people who have iman and perform righteous deeds, they will be the residents of Jannah. They will abide there endlessly." Iman is built upon pillars, which the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, explained by saying, "Iman is for you to have sound beliefs about Allah, His angels, His scriptures, His messengers, the last day, and His decree, the good of it and the bad of it." Additionally, the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, explained the pillars of Islam by saying, "Islam is for you to testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. Establish the obligatory prayers, give the obligatory charity, fast Ramadan, and perform Hajj at the Kaaba if able to do so." Thus, Salah, prayer, is the greatest of Islam's pillars, following the two aforementioned testimonies. Prayer is the action that demonstrates Islam. Prayer represents a link between a servant and his Lord. It is the connection by which the servant can hold private counsel with his Creator. Allah the Most Exalted said, "Establish prayer as prescribed from midday until the darkness of the night, and recite the Quran in the Fajr prayer at early dawn. Recitation of the Quran at early dawn is certainly witnessed." Allah said, "Establish prayer as prescribed from midday until the darkness of the night, and recite the Quran in the Fajr prayer at early dawn. Recitation of the Quran at early dawn is certainly witnessed." In addition, Allah said, "If people adhere to the Quran and establish prayer as prescribed, we would never cause the reward for those righteous deeds of theirs to be lost." As for zakah, obligatory charity, it entails giving a small portion of one's wealth in order to please Allah, console the needy, and bring about the benefits which are mentioned as it relates to the eligible recipients of zakah. Allah the Most Exalted said, "Establish prayer as prescribed and give the obligatory charity, and whatever good you send forth for yourselves, you shall find it with Allah. Indeed, Allah sees all things that you do." Allah also said, "Establish prayer as prescribed, give the obligatory charity, and obey the Messenger in order to attain Allah's mercy." Another pillar of Islam is fasting the month of Ramadan. Allah the Most Exalted said, "People of Iman, fasting has been prescribed for you, just as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you would attain taqwa." The fifth pillar of Islam is performing Hajj at Allah's sanctified house, if able to do so. Allah the Most Exalted said, "Performance of Hajj at this house is an obligation people must fulfill for Allah if able to do so." Allah also said, "Hajj is in the well-known months. Thus, those who intend to perform Hajj during them must avoid intercourse and its precursors, sins in general, and disputing during Hajj. And whatever good you do, Allah surely knows it. You must take provision for yourselves, and the best provision is most certainly taqwa. Thus, people of understanding, you must observe taqwa of me." In addition, Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, "If someone performs Hajj at this house while refraining from marital relations and their precursors, as well as sins, he shall return as sinless as he was on the day his mother gave birth to him." Dear people of Iman, with regards to performing Hajj, our Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, instructed us to emulate him. He said, "Learn your rites of Hajj from me." As a matter of fact, we are supposed to emulate his guidance and follow his path in all our acts of worship. And Allah made doing that a prerequisite for us attaining His love. Allah instructed His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say to the people, if you truly love Allah, follow me. If you do so, Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Allah, who is perfect in every way, also said, you most certainly have a perfect role model in the Messenger of Allah for anyone who hopes in Allah on the last day and is engaged often in the remembrance and mention of Allah. Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, had the soundest of ethics and conduct. His Lord described him by saying, you indeed have an admirable standard of conduct. And by also saying, it was due to Allah's mercy that you were lenient in dealing with your companions. In addition, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, described the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, by saying that his conduct was the Quran. The true teachings of Islam encompass the highest standard of ethics when it comes to interaction. People of our time are in great need of embodying those ethics in their financial transactions, their economic and political regulations, their educational curricula, and their academic research. Furthermore, no civilization can be a collective of righteous citizens without instilling sound ethics and conduct into the souls of its individuals. Having sound ethics and conduct protects rights and serves to refine individuals and entire societies in the best way. Our world is in urgent need of adopting proper moral standards in all facets of life. The sermon delivered by the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection on the day of Arafah, emphasized the foundations of sound morals and conduct. The Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, forbade transgression against others. He said, indeed, your lives, properties, and dignity are inviolable to one another. And he later added, do not return to misguidance after me, such that some of you strike the necks of others. Dear people of Iman, among the merits of Islam is that it advocates sound ethics and conduct. There is a hadith in the two Sahih collections in which the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, indeed, among the best of you are those who have the best conduct. This shows the completeness and virtue of Islam's teachings, as well as how lofty its objectives are. Islam's directives seek to bring about all that is advantageous, minimize all that is detrimental, develop our world, and bring benefit to people. Its directives foster a brotherhood, compassion, and love among Muslims. They encourage kindness, giving, and goodness overall. They also discourage oppression or aggression being directed towards anyone. These are teachings that make the Ummah of Islam a collective that is united upon the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah, far removed from disobedient inclinations or fabricated beliefs and practices that are falsely claimed to be part of its religion. It is a collective that is to rise above divisiveness and animosity. It worships one Lord, emulates one Prophet, follows the guidance of one scripture, the Quran, faces one direction in prayer, the Kaaba, makes Hajj in one location, and performs one set of rites. Its individuals are to support one another with an outlook of fairness, mercy, and solidarity. Among the values promoted by Islam's teachings is using good words and pleasing language. Allah the Most Exalted said, tell my servants to say what is best. Indeed, shaitan sows enmity between them. Allah also said, you must speak the best of words to people. Islam's teachings encourage honesty. Allah the Most Exalted said, people of Iman, observe taqwa of Allah and remain with the truthful. Islam's teachings instruct us to honor agreements. Allah the Most Exalted said, people of Iman, you must fulfill all your obligations which bind you to others. Allah also said, you must fulfill your promises. You will certainly be asked about the promises you made. Additionally, Allah commanded that kindness be extended to parents, relatives, and neighbors. Allah said, worship Allah and do not ascribe any partners to Him. And extend kindness to parents, kin, orphans, the needy, neighbors who are relatives or in close proximity, neighbors who are farther away, the companion by your side, stranded travelers, and the slaves whom you may own. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are proud and boastful. With regards to parents, Allah said, you must not let them hear the slightest word which expresses your irritation, and you must not treat them harshly. Rather, be gentle and speak to them kindly and honorably. Remain humble out of your compassion towards them and say, my Lord, have mercy upon them both as they patiently bore raising me while I was still a mere infant. Allah also commanded that spouses live together honorably. Allah said to all men, you must live with your wives based on kindness, love, and fulfilling their rights. If you dislike something about them for any mundane reason, you must bear that patiently, because it may well be that you dislike something when in fact Allah brings about much goodness by it. Furthermore, one of the things said by the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, when he delivered his sermon at Arafah was, you must take good care of women and treat them kindly. Not only that, the directives of Islam instruct us to deal with all people kindly and fairly. Allah said, indeed, Allah commands you to be just, fulfill everyone's rights, and give relatives what is due to them. Allah also prohibits you from all obscenity, wrongdoing, and oppression. Allah also said, Allah's mercy is certainly near to those who strive to worship Him in the best way and deal with His service in the best manner. Allah forbade deceiving people and cheating them out of what they are entitled to. In contrast to such dishonesty, Allah instructed us, you must give full measure and full weight with justice. Allah also commanded us to fulfill trusts and return borrowed property. He said, indeed, Allah commands you to fulfill all trusts, giving them to those who rightfully deserve them, and to be fair whenever you judge between people. This is a quality that Allah praised the people of Iman for having. He said, those who fulfill all of their trusts and their promises. Allah also commended those who are selfless enough to prefer others over themselves. He said, they give others priority, although they themselves might be in need. When people are saved from the greed of their own souls, they are the ones who will be successful. Allah commended those who give to praiseworthy causes. He said, by no means will you attain Jannah until you give from that which you love. And no matter what you give, Allah has full knowledge of it. Dear Muslims, there are numerous places in the Quran where Allah mentions the reward in store for those who embody sound conduct. For instance, Allah said, seize every opportunity you can to attain your Lord's forgiveness and to be admitted to Jannah, whose expanse is that of the heavens and the earth, and which has been prepared for the people of taqwa. Among their qualities is that they give during both prosperity and hardship, they suppress anger, and they pardon others. Allah loves those who worship Him in the best way and also fulfill the rights of others. Dear Muslims, Allah opened the gates of repentance for His servants so that He would pardon their sins out of His grace. He said, except in the case of those who repent, have sound beliefs, and perform righteous deeds, Allah will change the sins of those people into righteous deeds. And Allah is most forgiving, bestower of mercy. Allah the Most Exalted also said, I most certainly continue to forgive those who repent, have sound beliefs, perform righteous deeds, and remain steadfast in adhering to the truth. Dear Muslims, this day of yours is an opportunity for repentance and a time when you can attain forgiveness. An Imam Muslim collected a hadith in his Sahih stating that the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, there is no day on which Allah frees more servants from the hellfire than the day of Arafah. He draws near and then boasts to the angels about them. How could it be otherwise when this momentous day is the one on which Allah sent down His statement, today I have perfected your religion for you, I have completed my favor to you, and I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you. It was on this day that the morals and ethics prescribed came to completion, as did the directives of Islam, all of which comprised the most noble of qualities and merits. Dear Muslims, contemplate examples of that in Surah Al-Hujurat. In it, Allah forbade us from believing unsubstantiated rumors. He instructed us to reconcile between hostile parties and ensure that people who transgress against others are brought back to doing what is right. He forbade us from behaving arrogantly. He also forbade us from mocking others, calling them names they despise, thinking ill of them, spying on them, and backbiting them. Our entire world is invited to review the Quran. Our entire world is invited to review the Quran in order to know the highest standard of ethics and conduct. As Allah Himself said, indeed, this Quran guides to the best path. This is why the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said during his sermon at Arafah, I have left something among you. So long as you adhere to it, you will not go astray. It is the book of Allah. Allah's book advocates maintaining the unity of Muslims, warns us against scheming and deception, and teaches us to learn necessary lessons from the consequences faced by tyrants and traitors of previous times. Observing the sound ethics of Islam when conducting financial transactions allows commerce to thrive and the economy to flourish in such a way that people trust the conduct and ethics of others with whom they deal. This is why Islam prohibits fraud, gambling, engaging in transactions involving interest, unlawfully taking the wealth of others, and leaving terms ambiguous when conducting transactions. On the contrary, Islam commands justice and protection of rights. Also among the directives and ethics of Islam is obeying the leaders and authority, since that contributes to maintaining general order as well as preserving safety and stability. Allah the Most Exalted said, people of Iman, obey Allah, obey the Messenger, and those in authority among you. Thus, it is necessary for our Ummah to obey Allah and His Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, and to be united under the leadership of its authorities. This is to be done while fulfilling all obligations, avoiding all violations, encouraging what is right, discouraging what is wrong, and avoiding animosity and contention. When all of these factors come together, the Ummah would be the best collective brought forth for mankind, and it would attain the victory, provision, goodness, and unity that Allah promised it, far removed from the harms of turmoil and its advocates, no matter how much changing and pretending they might do. Servants of Allah, maintaining sound ethics and conduct is necessary in all places, and it is all the more important in these sacred locations. It is not part of virtuous conduct to turn Hajj into a platform for protests, propaganda, or calls to various groups and factions. When the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, delivered his sermon at Arafah, he made it very clear that all things pertaining to Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic period of ignorance, were beneath his feet, completely abolished. I say to our entire world, observing sound conduct provides the best path that leads to having a dignified life. I say to leaders of our Ummah, scholars of Islam, individuals in positions of authority, esteemed educators, fathers and mothers, and also everyone involved in the media, all of us are required to give the subject of sound ethics and conduct the importance it deserves. We must foster sound conduct within ourselves by training our souls to remember that Allah always sees us, to have a strong connection with the Quran, to have a strong connection with the Quran and the Sunnah, and to hope for the best outcome in this world and the hereafter as a result of adhering to proper ethics and morals. Dear Hajjaj, after the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, delivered his sermon at Arafah, he instructed Bilal to call the Adhan and Iqamah, and he then prayed Dhuhr, shortened to 2 rak'ah. Another Iqamah was then called, and he prayed Asr, also shortened to 2 rak'ah. He then remained in Arafah while atop his camel. He continued to mention Allah and invoke him until the sun had set. Then he proceeded to Muzdalifah, and he counseled his companions to be tranquil by telling them, "People, you must remain tranquil. Righteousness does not lie in haste." When he reached Muzdalifah, he prayed Maghrib and Isha combined, with Maghrib as 3 rak'ah and Isha shortened to 2. He spent the night in Muzdalifah, prayed Fajr there at the beginning of its time, and supplicated to Allah until the sky became quite bright. He then proceeded to Mina, where he stoned the 3rd Jamrah after sunrise with 7 pebbles. He then offered his sacrifice, had his head shaved, and went to the Kaaba to perform Tawaf al-Ifada. He remained in Mina for the days of Tashriq. On each of those days, he was engaged in Zikr of Allah. He stoned the 3 Jamarat after midday, and he supplicated after stoning the 1st and 2nd of the Jamarat. He permitted those who had valid excuses to not spend the nights in Mina. The sunnah of Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, is to remain in Mina until the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, and doing that is more virtuous. However, it is permissible to leave on the 12th. When the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, completed the rites of Hajj and wanted to leave for Al-Madina, he performed farewell tawaf at the Kaaba. Dear Hajjaj, you are now in a sacred place on a day of great virtue. It is an occasion on which we earnestly hope to be forgiven for sins and have our supplications answered. The Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, did not fast the day of Arafah when he performed Hajj, and that was in order to be focused on remembering Allah, mentioning Him, and supplicating to Him. Therefore, supplicate to your most generous Lord much for yourselves, your loved ones, those to whom you have obligations, and for all Muslims. Beseech Allah to rectify the conditions of all Muslims and to unite them upon the truth. Do not forget to also supplicate for those who have extended kindness to you. The Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, "If someone does good for you, repay him. If you find no way to do that, supplicate to Allah for him." Among the individuals who undoubtedly extend goodness to all Muslims are those who care for the 2 holy mosques and spare no effort, night or day, to ensure the comfort of the worshippers who have come as Allah's guests. At the head of those individuals are the custodian of the 2 holy mosques as well as his deputy. Thus, we should supplicate to Allah for them. O Allah, you are the ever-living, self-sufficient sustainer of all and the owner of all majesty and kindness. We implore you to grant your guidance to the custodian of the 2 holy mosques, King Salman ibn Abdulaziz. O Allah, grant him assistance and support which come from you and direct him to all channels of goodness. O Allah, reward him abundantly for all of the benevolence he extends to others. O Allah, bless his deputy, Crown Prince Muhammad ibn Salman. Make his deputy a means of support for him and enable him to be a channel leading to goodness for the entire Ummah. O Allah, accept this Hajj from all who came to perform it. O Allah, accept this Hajj from all who came to perform it. Make things easy for the Hajjaj and protect them from anyone who may intend to harm them. O Allah, enable them to return to their homelands safely, having fulfilled their needs, earned your rewards, and been forgiven for their sins. O Allah, forgive the people of Islam and Iman, men and women alike. Unite their hearts. Rectify matters between them. Grant them your care. Bless them with safety in their lands. And guide them to the best of words, deeds, and conduct. Guide them to the best of words, deeds, and conduct. You are the most majestic. Our Lord the Almighty is perfect and exalted above all the wrong ascribed to Him. He grants protection to all of His messengers, and all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.